Hello, hello, and welcome back to our Finding Better podcast. My name is John Suzuki, and I am your host. And this is a place where we share real life experience, safe information. It's about wisdom and life experiences where we've been there and done that in terms of finding better in our own lives, so that maybe you can learn from those experiences and apply them to your own life. It's not about opinions. It's not about academics. It's not about theories. It's about real life stuff. And I like to call it a safe place, you know, because you got so much junk information out there and you don't know what to believe. And you have social media and you have all these different powers that are coming at you, wanting your money, wanting your attention, telling you how inadequate you are. We're not doing that here. We want to build you up. We want to make this world better. And we know that lifting you and helping you live a better life lifts the world. So with that, I have an amazing guest today. His name is Mike Ayalon. And he is, I'm going to let him introduce himself, but I'll tell you, this man has done a lot. Right now, we're going to talk a little bit about college, okay? Because one of the things that really, really inspires me is trying to find ways to inspire young people and college students. And he's the host of a podcast called the Fraternity Foodie Podcast, which is awesome. And he's just so accomplished. I got to read all this stuff, right? He's a known public speaker. He's an author. He's a social media figure. And his life is going on. He's working on his doctorate. And anyway, just such an amazing guy. And Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, John. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, well, it's an honor to have you. Okay, listen. So I was, and full disclosure, folks, I was actually on Mike's podcast and we had an amazing time. He's just got incredible energy. And right now his passion is about college students and supporting college students and helping with that college experience. And Mike, I'll tell you, there are a lot of folks out there who would love to hear thoughts in terms of how to have a better college experience, how, some of the things that you've learned and experienced, and I'm just gonna cut you loose and let you go. Go for it.
All right, John, I appreciate that. So here's what I would say is I actually went to school for accounting at the University of Buffalo in Buffalo, New York. Interestingly enough, I'm actually going back to speak at my alma mater on Friday of this week.
Oh, how cool is that?
Which is so cool. Yeah. I go back there quite often. Which is absolutely wonderful that I get to work with the students there. But you know what? My college experience was an interesting one in that I chose the University of Buffalo because my best friend Scott in high school, he was a year older than I was. He was actually having a good time at the University of Buffalo. And He said, Mike, you should really apply and come here so that way we can continue to hang out for the next 3 years. And
course.
I thought that was a fantastic idea. So, you know, this is how 17-year-olds think.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I applied and sure enough, I got in. And so about a week before my freshman year and a week before Scott's sophomore year at the University of Buffalo, I called him up and I said, Scott, I said, I can't wait to get up to the University of Buffalo. What about you? And he said, well, Mike, he said, I've got some bad news for you. I said, what are you talking about, bad news? He said, well, I failed out. I'm like, what?
No.
I said, Scott, I said, you know, I chose the University of Buffalo because you were going there. That's the only reason why I chose this school. And now I know absolutely nobody.
Oh, no.
It was a disaster. And so I got up to school. And I tell you what, my freshman year, I really had a hard time. It was hard acclimating to college life. At all times, I was always doing one of three things. I was either eating, sleeping, or going to class. That was it. And I remember at the end of my first semester freshman year calling my dad. And I said, Dad, I said, I've given this a lot of thought. I said, at the University of Buffalo, there's 30,000 students.
Yep.
And some of my lecture halls have 500 students in them. And if I don't go to class, it's not like my professor is going to call me and say, Mike, where were you today? He doesn't even know who I am.
Right.
And so I said, I've given this a lot of thought. And I tell you what, you know, I haven't made any connections here. I've decided I'm going to drop out of school and I'm going to start my career without a college degree.
Okay.
And there was silence on the other end of the phone.
And there was.
It was. And then all of a sudden it was all kinds of cursing and yelling and screaming. And finally my dad comes back to the phone and he says, nah, I don't think so. My son is going to be a college graduate. And I said, but Dad, I don't want to go back to college. You can't make me go back. And he said, well, as a matter of fact, I rented out your room back home, so you have no place to go.
Bad answer, bad answer, bad comment.
So essentially, I went back to school, and now it's January in Buffalo, the start of my second semester, right? So
Lovely,
there's 5
lovely.
feet of snow on the ground. It's still snowing on top of the 5 feet. And I'm sitting in calculus class looking out the window at the snow, going, why did I not go to school, like maybe in the south or something, someplace warm? What am I doing here? And I looked over to my left, and there was a kid sitting next to me in class. He was wearing cutoff jean shorts and flip-flops to
Oh,
class
geez.
with 5 feet of snow on the ground. And you and I both know people like this. They're just some college kids. This is what they do. And so I looked over to my left, and I saw that he had Greek letters tattooed on his thigh. It was a sigma and a pi. And I said, okay. And so after class, I pulled him aside and I said, I noticed that you have this tattoo on your leg of Sigma Pi. This must be the greatest organization on the planet because you tattooed it on your body. You have to look at that every single day. And he said, yeah, he said, it's pretty good. And I said, can you tell me what is this organization? And he said, well, I can tell you about our history. I can tell you about the founders, but it's probably easier if you just come over to the house and meet the guys. And I met the guys. They were a nice bunch of guys. And that's really all I thought at that particular moment. That was on a Tuesday. My next class was on Thursday. I sat next to this kid named Rich again on Thursday. And after class, he said, Mike, I'd love for you to come by the house again today. I looked at my calendar. I had absolutely nothing going on that day either. And I went over to the house. I met the guys. And this time they all greeted me. They said, hey, Mike, it's great to see you again. Thanks for coming by. And that's when I knew that I had a family. They used my name. And that's like
Oh,
music to your
cool.
ears because, like, your name is your favorite word in the English language. And they actually cared if I came by the house or not. They were going to miss me if I didn't show up. And then, it was a great, situation there because in the fraternity, once I joined, I got leadership skills. I got communication skills that I didn't have coming into college. I figured out how to motivate all my brothers because there are some lazy people in organizations.
Oh,
And
no, not in
oh,
fraternities.
yeah.
Oh,
Yes. And so I got all kinds of great leadership skills, and I realized the fraternity was so great. If you look at Maslow's hierarchy, some of the things you need are, food and shelter, and all of those things. But you also need love and belonging. Like, we
Oh my
all need to
gosh,
feel
yes.
like we have love and belonging in order to be successful. And it wasn't the academics that was hard for me in college. It was the love and belonging that I needed in order to reach my full potential. And once I had that, then I could reach my full potential. And so that's what my recommendation is in terms of, college and making the most of it. You have to go and visit. That was mistake number one. I didn't go to visit. I just went solely based on the fact that my friend was going there and then he didn't show up. But then number two, you have to feel that love and belonging, in order to be successful.
Totally.
So that means that you really need to be involved as a college student and join organizations. It could be a fraternity, it could be a sorority, or it could be some other organization that you're passionate about. But humans, the way that we're wired is that we really need to feel love and belonging to reach our full potential. Just ask Abraham Maslow. And so that's kind of my point, and what I think separates a great college experience from one that really doesn't get you where you want to go.
And it is amazing. I mean, I think you just hit the nail on the head. I mean, totally and completely. Because, young people, you're 17 years old at the time, right? And young people, they don't know. They don't even know what it's like to live outside the house. And all of a sudden, they wake up one morning in a strange environment, and they have no idea, mom's not there to cook them breakfast. They're kind of left out there on their own, especially if they haven't signed up for different organizations and different things to do. And it's that love and belonging that I think is what, or the lack of it, that causes a lot of kids to drop out, right?
100%. I mean, that's really is the difference in terms of retention, and the data backs it up. All you need to do is go and look at, let's say, fraternity and sorority membership and retention levels. And what you'll see is there's significantly higher retention on college campuses for fraternity and sorority members. Why? Because they're getting love and belonging, because they have that group, that core nucleus, and they don't leave. And so that's really, you know, my message to anybody who's a college administrator listening: invest in your fraternity and sorority community, invest in student organizations, because that's the reason why they're staying. And the data bears it out. So I think, you know, that's definitely a message to college administrators looking to improve their retention rates at a time when it's very difficult to do so.
Well, you know, I wasn't part of a fraternity or sorority. Well, obviously not a sorority, but I did join a business organization.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it that participating in that, and you know, folks, for those of you who are going to school or about to go to school, or if your parents that have kids that are about to go to school, you know, coach them and get them involved. I mean, there's every kind of organization on campus you can think of. I mean, there's something that you're going to be interested in, right? And you know, I'll tell you, the thing about participating in that organization, it was called ISEC, which was a French acronym for the Association of International Students in Business. They held me accountable. They held me accountable because I had responsibilities. And you know what? If I decided to bomb out, I was gonna have to be accountable to them.
100%.
And thinking about your experience of how you said that you learned leadership skills and organizational skills and communication skills, mm-hmm. you probably learned most of those skills while you were having fun.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, well, it's gotta be fun. Gotta be fun. So that's really important. And think about the whole purpose of college. The purpose of college is to increase your network. These are the people that you are going to be working with in the future, getting jobs from. They're going to be your clients. They're going to be your suppliers. That's the whole point to college, is to increase your network. And, you know, how are you going to do that unless you meet other students and join organizations and find common interests?
Yeah.
So you really got to do that if you want to maximize value on a college campus.
What do you think? You know, I've added one to that, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it. Mm. You know, in today's world, especially post-COVID, but in today's world of technology and social media and all this BS that's going on in the world, it's really hard to measure up. You know, I can't imagine being a young person today and navigating my way through all this garbage that's being thrown at me. And, you know, and for me, I look at it and, you know, I coach people and I say, hey, you know what? One of the most important reasons for you to go to school and to participate is to learn to work with people face to face, handshake to handshake, hug to hug, you know, arm around each other and building those communication skills. And because, you know, in today's world, everybody can hide behind a screen. You have a screen that, and you have Zoom and you have the remote and you have all this stuff. What do you think about that aspect of it?
Yeah, I think it's critical. And that's another reason why I'm a big advocate for the fraternity and sorority system, is that in these student organizations, you are going to be forced to work with people that are different than you. And that's another goal of college, is to really understand different cultures, and to really build diverse organizations and understand why diverse organizations are so successful. But ultimately, you're going to work with people that some you're going to like, some you're not going to like. Some share the same political leanings as you. Some are exactly the opposite in terms of political leanings. Different races, different religions, different country of origins, different sexual orientations, different physical abilities or disabilities. You really need to work with, and that really is America. I mean, when you go and you graduate and you work for a company, you're going to be in the same situation. And so that's exactly why I like fraternities and sororities, is because it really gives you a chance to really build a company and work in a company while you're still in college with people who are different from you. And you've got to figure out what motivates everybody in your organization. And guess what? Everybody is motivated by something different.
That's
so
right.
So you really need to ask all of the people in your student organization on a college campus, what is it that you want out of this student organization? What is your dream? And then that becomes how you're going to motivate that person. But ultimately, they're all going to be different. Some you're going to like, you're not going to like, different political leanings. You need to work with everybody in order to get the collective goal, whatever that collective goal is. And I think it really prepares you for life after college.
Oh, it totally does. And you said something that's really interesting, Mike. You said managing the business. And when you said managing the business, I presume you meant managing the business of the fraternity or the sorority,
Yeah, 100%.
right?
It's a real business. I mean,
And it is totally a real business.
it is. You know, my daughter, she's choosing her college now. And so within the next month, we'll know exactly which college she's going to this fall. And you know, one of the colleges that she's considering is that, you know, she has a full ride to Alabama. Now, Alabama has the biggest fraternity and sorority system in the country.
Huge,
And
huge.
when we're talking fraternity and sorority, I mean, these are organizations that have over 400 members. She could be in a sorority with over 400 members, and you know what you're talking about in terms of dues, it's about $15,000 a year in terms of dues, and that includes, you know, housing and meals and everything else in the house. So when you multiply that times 400, and now you're the treasurer of the organization, think about that. Think about that for a second.
That's 6
You are
million bucks a
managing
year.
a
That is
huge
$6
budget.
million a year.
That's a lot of money, right? So now suddenly you're a college student, you're managing that. You can put that on your resume and say, you know what? I'm managing, you know, $15,000 a year times 400 members. We're now talking about, you know, a huge, huge budget. Right? And so this is, you know, it's just really incredible for them to get that experience. And again, it's really kind of a small company that you're running on a college campus, and then you're going to take all of those lessons and then put that to work in the real world. I would hire people who are heavily involved in student organizations on college campuses that have that experience over somebody who is, you
Absolutely.
know, it basically just went to class and that's it.
And
Because they have that experience, they have the social skills, they have the communication skills. You know, these are things that are really lacking, all of these soft skills. That if you're on your phone the whole time, you're not really flexing those muscles.
And you mentioned the words student organizations. And so, because I'm not a fraternity kind of guy. I'm just not. And there's a lot of people that aren't, but there's a lot of people that are. And so what do you say to those people who are not don't gravitate to the Greek system?
Yeah, it's, you know, again, I mean, I have friends who are affiliated in fraternities and sororities and those who aren't. And I don't really judge one way or the other. I think it's just more important that you find your crew. You have to find that love and belonging. You can't do this. You can't build a multi-million dollar company as a lone wolf. You have to learn how to work with other people. That's
Or
what I'm
any
just trying to
company,
tell
or
you.
any company for that
Any
matter.
company, I
I
can't
mean, a
build
hundred
a
thousand dollars.
20 million, a $30 million company by myself. I need you and everybody else to help me. And so, you know, that's really the lessons that we're trying to teach while you're in college. So find any student organization, find other students that have common hobbies, interests as you, and join their organization and try to be a leader because that is going to help set you up for success after graduation.
And you know what, folks? All of these organizations are looking for leaders.
Oh, yeah.
So if you step up, and the thing is that, find, people sometimes think, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. What I'd like to tell people, Mike, is just check it out and meet the people. Meet the people. And the most important thing is chemistry, right? You may love chess. You may love to play chess, and you may decide, I'm going to go to the chess club. And then you go to the chess club and you learn that all the people in the chess club are a bunch of jerks, right? Sorry, there's nothing against chess clubs, but just an example, right? And then you might bump into another thing, cooking. I don't know, gourmet cooking. And you just walk in and you go, man, these people are really cool. Just go in and participate and be part of it, right? And and you'll get that feeling of belonging. And I mean, Mike, oh my gosh, it's that love and belonging. You're
That's
absolutely
it.
right.
That's it.
And
You need everybody needs that in order to be successful. You can't reach your full potential as a human being on this earth unless you have love and belonging. It's just one of Maslow's, you know, needs in his hierarchy. And
Yeah,
so,
totally.
you know, as a student leader, you also need to make sure that all of your members have everything that they need too, like food and shelter and sleep, and safety and security, right? I mean, we can't learn if we feel insecure at the moment, right? So if we are in, you know, the Ukraine, for example, and there's bombs landing all over us, we can't learn. We can't be our best self because we're so, you know, scared that a bomb is gonna hit our building, right? So we have to feel safe and secure in our student organization, meaning that we feel secure to voice, you know, issues or have discussions about topics like mental health. You know, that I could say, hey, John, I'm not really feeling myself right now. I'm feeling depressed. I haven't gone to class in a week. I need to be able to voice that and feel comfortable in confiding in you. And hopefully, as a brother, you're going to say, Mike, come with me. We'll go to the counseling center together. We're going to get you the help that you need.
Right.
So you really need to have all of these pieces in terms of safety, in terms of, you know, your physical well-being, food and shelter, and love and belonging is right up there. And so for me, that really meant the difference of success and failure on a college campus.
Yeah. Well, it turned you on a dime, right?
It turned
I
me
mean,
on a dime, and now I'm in a doctorate program, right? I'm doing a doctorate in assessment, learning, and student success in higher education, and I'm writing my dissertation on the early warning mechanisms of hazing in college fraternities and sororities.
Oh boy.
That's going to be the contribution to the field, is to allow student affairs administrators to learn, you know, when the early warning signs of hazing appear, so that way we can prevent somebody from getting hurt or killed, God forbid, on a college campus.
Yeah. And, you know, you had mentioned a little bit earlier that you're hopeful that college campuses will and the administrators will do more and learn to do more in terms of the belonging part of it, because it's not just academics. The academics is kind of what they talk about and what they sell. But it's the experience. It's the experience that you want the kids to come out of college with. And, you know, and folks, I'll tell you, it is really competitive out there.
Oh, yeah.
Today's job market is really, really hard. And I hate to say this, but here it comes, artificial intelligence, folks. And it's going to get tougher. Now I heard somebody talk about artificial intelligence, and they said, you know what? Artificial intelligence may not take your job, but someone who knows artificial intelligence might. And so, you know, the world is changing so much. And so, you know, I really encourage young people, when you're going to college, make the best of it. Oh my gosh, you know, when you get out of the house and you go to college, all of a sudden it's brand new and everything's kind of scary. But I'll tell you something, it is the safest place you're ever going to experience for the rest of your life in terms of being able to learn in a safe environment. And you know, you don't have to, I mean, you're not going to be kicked out of your house, right? I mean, and even those people who are concerned and have financial shortages, right? There are resources out there. There are people you can go to. And so, you know, that to me, that's the most important thing when you're first going to college and getting out, is understand what your resources are.
Yeah,
and guess
yeah.
what? A really great way to understand resources is to find people that you can identify with
100%,
and find love and meaning and belonging with, and help each other. Help
Yeah,
each
and
other.
I think, you know, a related point too is, don't be afraid to make mistakes, right?
Oh,
you know, I've made mistakes
yes.
in every stage of my career. And to your point about the safety of a college campus, imagine this: you can make mistakes on a college campus as a student leader, and you're not going to get fired.
Yes,
nobody's going to get fired. You.
That's right.
If you're out in the real world and you made that mistake, you're fired. You're out
Thanks.
Of work, and you don't know how you're going to pay the bills at the end of
yeah.
the month.
Yeah.
So I guess my point is number one, you know, don't be afraid to make mistakes, because I've made mistakes a million times, and I've learned from them, and I've gotten better over time. So that's good. And, you know, understand that everybody makes mistakes. I mean,
everybody.
Michael Jordan talks about how much, you know, he's failed. He's failed more times than he's been successful, but everybody remembers, you know, the shot that he hit, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, it's okay to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Don't be afraid to make mistakes in college. Your fraternity brothers, your sorority sisters, your student organization members are all going to forgive you, because we all make mistakes. But it's how you kind of learn your leadership style, what works, what doesn't work. And this is the time for you to take risks, right? Not
Yeah,
risks that are going to put yourself in
totally.
jeopardy. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking
No.
about try things that are different
Right.
that ordinarily you wouldn't. So, for example, in college, I would love for every college student to have a side hustle while you're in college
Oh
because,
my gosh,
and you know,
absolutely.
make it be like something totally off the wall, something that you wouldn't ordinarily think. And you know what? Maybe you make 5,000, maybe you make 10,000, maybe you make 50,000. Maybe that's the company that you're going to start building as soon as you graduate, and you're going to recruit all the other students in your network to come and work for your brand new company. But if this is the time that you should take those risks, because later in life, you can't take those risks
That's
anymore,
right. And
right?
I'll,
You have a family, you have
yep.
a wife, you have a partner, you have your responsibilities. But in college, this is the time to go for it.
Exactly. That is such an amazing point. You know, I tell people, if you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough.
That's
And,
right. That's
you
right.
know,
People don't understand that. That's
yeah, I mean,
counterintuitive, right?
failure and success are flip sides of the
Absolutely.
coin. You
A
can't
hundred
have one
percent.
without the other. And if you
Right.
believe that the universe requires balance, it requires you to fail as much as you succeed.
Amen.
And so,
Amen.
you know, I mean, think about it that way. And I'll also say one other thing, Mike. You were talking about doing a side hustle. You know, when we were going to school, and especially when I was going to school, God forbid, there was no such thing as the gig economy, right? Where you could just start something, just get on your computer and start something. And
Yeah.
here's the thing, guys. I mean, Mike was talking about making $1,000 or 10,000. If you make zero, you are learning. You're learning. And to Mike's point, you're learning what doesn't work. And not only that, you're learning what is working. And those skills, just doing something fun for yourself and creating a little side hustle with something you love to do. Just try it, right? That's such a great point, Mike. Such a great point. Yeah, you're not very passionate about this, are you?
Listen, college students and college campuses hire me because I'm passionate. I believe in the college experience and I
Awesome.
know how to get the most out of it. And now my kids are going to be the beneficiary.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, listen, but before I let you go, I wanted to you and I talked a little bit about work-life balance. And let t tell me tell t tell the folks a little bit about your experience and any wisdom that you might be able to might impart to them.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of work-life balance, I think about a country like Denmark. You know, they have one of the highest in terms of work-life balance, some of the best countries there. Why? They're all participating in civic life, so there's high voter turnout. Employment, they're all encouraged to take breaks often and interact with their colleagues, right? It goes back to love and belonging. They have a minimum of 5 weeks paid vacation in Denmark. And the research shows excessively long work days decreases your productivity. And they have something in Denmark that's called flex jobs, where workers can request different work hours or less physically demanding tasks. And in terms of income, the people of Denmark don't buy big houses or big cars. They spend their money, get this, on socializing with other people. Okay. They do pay high taxes, so that contributes to their benefits and services. So that makes their work-life balance easier. Things like universal healthcare, for example. Health is very important, so that's a high priority in supporting people over profits. 26 paid weeks of maternity leave in Denmark, and 100% of their wages are paid for sick days. They prioritize education. And social relationships are critical in Denmark. They spend 16 hours a day dedicated to eating, sleeping, and spending time with their friends and relatives. Okay. So, like, understand that, you know, that love and belonging is really critical to our success, and Denmark has figured it out. So, in terms of the United States, right, we have different rules and different policies here. Here's my suggestion. Number one, set clear boundaries. Okay, between work and personal time, your colleagues and your supervisor needs to know what your boundaries are and to respect your personal time after work or on the weekends. I want you to prioritize your tasks. So focus on completing the most critical tasks first. That can help you to reduce your stress and make your workday much more efficient. I want you to learn how to say no. This is a really difficult one for a lot of people. Understand your limits. And be willing to decline any additional responsibilities if they threaten your work-life balance. You have to learn how to delegate. This is a tough one for college students because college students think if I give it to my friend, he's going to mess it up And so I don't want to do that. You have to learn how to delegate if you want to build a multi-million dollar company. I want you to take regular breaks throughout the day. This is really important for your mental health. Even a quick walk or just a few minutes of relaxing can make a big difference in your day. Make time for yourself. So that means exercising. I exercise every single morning before I do anything. I have a 1 hour workout routine every single day. Read a book in the morning. That's really great for you. Or just spend time with family and friends. You have to allocate that time every single day. I want you to be flexible in terms, if possible, with your work hours. I think that's really great. And if you can work from home, that's a wonderful thing. Practice self-care. So that means a healthy diet and enough sleep. College students, you're not getting enough sleep, period. Drop the mic. You're not. And so I need you to sleep more and eat better. And essentially, I also want you to reassess over time because work-life balance, your needs may change over time. So you always have to assess your situation and then adjust. And finally, if you're struggling to maintain balance, I want you to talk to a supervisor, I want you to talk to a mentor, or I want you to talk to a mental health professional. They can offer you the guidance and support that's tailored to your situation.
Now, Mike, was that perspective for students or for everybody?
That's for everybody. I
For
mean,
everybody.
this is really anybody can. Obviously, my audience is typically college students, so I immediately think about how stressed out college students are right now with their time. Obviously, the cost of higher education is through the roof. I mean, my daughter is looking at colleges, Boston University, Boston College, $95,000 a year sticker price.
Yeah,
Okay,
I believe
people
it.
were freaking out when it was over 70. Now we're at 95,000. Okay. So, I mean, yeah, they're stressed out because look at the debt that they're being saddled with. Of
No,
course, they're stressed out.
that's
You know, so
right.
I immediately think about college students, but the reality is, in terms of work-life balance, all of these tips that I just gave you can work for anybody.
And I'll say this just from my perspective, that's a lot. What you threw out there was a lot,
Oh, yeah.
and I would be happy if they pick three of them,
Yeah, pick
and this
three.
right pick three and take it there, because especially when you get out into the real world, you got a thing called competition, and this is not competition for grades. This is competition for your job, and there are times when you just can't, you gotta step up. You gotta step up to the plate. And for me, I have a little bit I got one simple thing, Mike, that I just want to impart, and that is give yourself every night three goals to accomplish before you walk out the door.
Nice.
Easy peasy goals, like drink a cup of water every morning, like brush your teeth with your left hand, like make your bed. And you know what that does? When you do, just it may sound stupid, but what I found is that I'm starting the day off successful, and I'm going, oh yeah, I all right, cool, bam, three, I'm out the door, right? And it helps your psyche. And I've shared that with a lot of people, and they've just said, oh my gosh, that's just incredible. Because the self confidence part of it, because if you give yourself two goals that are high, right, and then you don't accomplish them, what do you think? You go, oh man, I didn't get that done today. I didn't get that done. But boom, 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 done.
I like it. I
Life
think
makes life's
it's
easy.
wonderful. I think it's absolutely wonderful.
Try
I say go for it. You know, if I could highlight
it.
one, you know, that's most important for me, I'll tell you, is just regular exercise, honestly. You know, even if it's just going for a walk. I mean, I'm not, it doesn't even have to be strenuous, but even in the middle of the day, just go for a walk and be outside, feel the sun on your face. Okay. Like literally, like that's it. We'll make it simple. You know, I think that is so important just to take a few minutes to just rest and relax and clear your mind and then come back to work. You know, we don't have to make too much of it. Yes. Do I spend an hour every day working out? I do. Because it's critical for me, it's a priority for me. But even if it's just taking a walk in the neighborhood for 5 minutes and feeling the sun on your face, I say that's a win too,
Oh, totally,
and
totally.
so important for that work-life balance.
You know, Mike, it just occurred to me what we're sharing with people. And if you're to put an umbrella over all this, be kind to yourself.
Yes.
Right? Be kind to yourself and be kind to others. And because you know what, this feeling of love and belonging that we're talking about, that you want to have, everybody wants to have it. So if you're seeing people out there who are looking uncomfortable, strike up a conversation with them, help them, right? Because you'd be amazed at how common our interests are with everybody on this planet. And you know, it's coming together. And the last thing I'll say is that most of the time, people are not going to come to you to give you love and belonging. You have to go after it. Okay, you do, but go after it and have fun and learn and meet people of like minds and like values and have a great time. Because, like Mike said, now's the time to fail is in college, right?
It
And
is. And I
it's just,
failed and it all worked out all right. So don't
yeah.
worry.
So there is a God because I'm still here, and you know, and I survived all that. So, all right. Well, listen, Mike. Is there anything else you want to share? This has been amazing, and we're going to continue this conversation in future episodes.
Absolutely. I'm happy to
So.
come back and talk about anything you like. Our conversations are always great. So all I want to say is thank you. Thank you for
Yeah.
being you. Thank you for being a light in this world. And I appreciate what you're doing with the podcast. I think it's wonderful.
Well, you too, Mike, and you're doing the exact same thing, which is why I think you and I connect so
I
well. It's
agree.
very, very cool. Very, very cool. All right, everybody. Well, listen, if you know college students, or if you know folks who have college students in their family, or you know, and frankly, everything that we talked about applies to life, right? I mean, out inside college and outside of college, love and belonging, it's everything.
It's
It's
everything.
so important. So with that, thank you for joining us, Mike. Oh, hey, Mike. So how do people learn more about you, and where do they go if they want to know more about Mike and your podcast?
Absolutely. So if you want to learn more about my company, just go to GreekUniversity.org. That's got everything there. All my contact information is there. But also connect with me on LinkedIn. So I'm Michael, and the last name is Ayalon. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. There you can see all of my experience, all the testimonials from colleges and universities all over the country. And so I do connect with a lot of professionals on that platform.
Wonderful, wonderful. Folks, you got that. He's an amazing guy. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. God bless you all. Bye.